Save big money on everything for your next bathroom project. Now at Menards. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. I'm your host, Jason Tardik, and welcome to the pre-market trading segment, where I'll tell you a little bit about what you can expect on this episode, an update from the market you need to know, and a little update from my personal life. First and foremost, wherever you're listening to this, please hit that subscribe button. It helps us out tremendously. And please give us 5 stars and let us know who you would like for us to have on the show or a topic or theme you'd like us to cover. Now, this episode is a very relevant one because it is with pro dancer Jenna Johnson. So Jenna is on this season of Dancing with the Stars. She has been in the game for many, many seasons. We'll talk about all of them specifically. And of course, she is Joey Graziadei's partner this season. So there is so much action with Jenna in her personal life, on her professional life, and the finances of dance, what her goal is to earn on an annual basis. She shares that. She talks about her influencing career. She talks about, you know, being married to Val in a form of entertainment that's also so, you know, it's you're rewarded for your chemistry and the display of what some refer to as, you know, sexual nature of dances, and you're scored well for doing it, and how that plays into, you know, not only this season with the moving parts of the noise with, you know, Joey and Kelsey. You're hearing from people out in the fan base. Of course, they have held so strong and will continue to do that. But just how you even manage it in a relationship when you're married to another pro dancer year after year after year. So all of the moving parts, the personal aspects, the financial aspects, and the professional aspects of a professional dancer. And of course, I'll get her predictions on who she thinks will be winning this year. So that is to come. And if you haven't been tuning in, make sure to tune into Dancing with the Stars. It has been one unbelievable, unbelievable season. And if you stay tuned to the recap, I'll talk a little bit about the ratings this year. Now, an update you got to know in the market, big update. Last couple weeks, the Federal Reserve cut the target range for the Fed funds by 50 basis points to 4.75% to 5%. So this is big. It's the first reduction in borrowing costs since March 2020. One thing you got to think about here, or you need to know, is that majority of economists out there are saying that there could be 2 more rate cuts this year. So we'll see what happens. Now this week, a big data point comes out. It's the unemployment rate, which will come out this week. And this has a big impact on the Fed's decision to increasing or decreasing rates. And what you'll need to know is that if we see a big jump in unemployment goes up, it could put pressure on the Fed to then reduce the rates even further. But enough of that talk. Let's apply it to your loans. I just looked it up right now. It looks like on bankrate.com, the top offering for a 30-year fixed rate is 5.5%. The national average is 6.21%. If you have a 15-year fixed rate, the national average is 5.49%. And then the top offering is 4.72%. So as these adjustments are made, there will be an impact on the market. But what you should know, is it time to refinance or not? Now, a little update from my personal life. Last week was so much fun. I got to speak at Lululemon in Vancouver, was back here in Nashville, went to the People's Choice Country Music Awards. Oh my God, I don't know if I'll post it or not, but I had the best conversation with Machine Gun Kelly. Like we got to talk for a while, but I posed for a photo. And when I pressed the live photo, I was so awkward in it. Oh my God. Makes me cringe how awkward I was with that photo. And then actually, tonight here in Nashville, Tennessee, we do some work with the Modern Luxury Magazine, and I'll be at, they have an event tonight here in Nashville, Tennessee. October is going to be a very busy month, a very exciting month. I turned 36 later this month. Scorpio's in the house. Let's go. So more to come. Excited for what this week will bring. Last week, lot of action. There's so much moving on in the markets right now. Again, we're seeing S&P 500 and Dow and NASDAQ hit all-time highs, and there's just so much movement going on. But enough of the market, enough of what you need to know about rates. Let's ring in the bell with the one, the only, Jenna Johnson. Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today, we are joined by professional dancer, choreographer, and Dancing with the Stars professional, Jenna Johnson. Jenna has spent all of her career in the world of dance, being a five-time U.S. National Latin Dance Champion, three-time National Contemporary Dance Champion, U.S. National Youth Dance Champion, and many more. She gained recognition after joining Dancing with the Stars back in 2014. Since then, she has participated in eight different seasons, finished as the Mirrorball champion of season 26, grown her social media following exponentially, and among other things, met her now husband, Val. You guys just had a kid within the last year, which is so exciting, year and a half. We are going to dive deep into the world of Dancing with the Stars, professional dance careers, how her life has changed since joining Dancing with the Stars world, and of course, our boy, Joey Grazia Day, how it's going this season. So Jenna, thank you for being on Trading Secrets.
Thank you for having me.
This is exciting stuff. This is going to come out in a couple of weeks, but we're sitting here the day after Dancing with the Stars premiere.
Yeah.
Joey Grazia Day scores a 21 out of 30, which is historically the highest score ever for a guy from the Bachelor franchise.
Yes, I just saw that.
Did you see that? Did that exceed your expectations? Like, what did you think the score was going
to
be?
Okay, well, I have to tell you, in general, seeing sevens on a premiere is unheard of.
Really?
Yes. And I was trying to prep Joey because we were also going first up. And okay, I'm like, just prepare yourself, maybe some fours, yeah, maybe some fives.
Yeah.
They usually start pretty low so we can build.
Yeah.
So I think everyone saw my face and the shock when we got three sevens. I was blown away. I was
floored.
So excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm so, so proud of Joey. I think to have the pressure to start off a season, a premiere by going first, that is a tall order. And he delivered.
Yeah,
and I'm so grateful that the judges responded the way that they did. The audience did. It was an amazing first dance.
Now, this isn't your first Joe you've had a partner with,
yes,
nor is it your first Bachelor contestant. So Grocery Store Joe, we actually were on the same season. What do you think the biggest difference is right now when you look at Grocery Store Joe versus Joey Grazia Day as far as the performance? What's like the number one biggest difference?
I mean, obviously, I think the fans know Joe Amabile did not have any dance experience.
Yeah.
It was just hard. It was really hard for him to pick up. I think Joey has a natural ability to like move his hips, groove a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He has an understanding of timing, which is really hard to naturally have.
Yep.
But I will say, I think Joe Amabile made it the furthest out of any of the Bachelor contestants.
Oh. All right. Looking at this season, I mean, I've watched the show now, I feel like for 4 years. I feel like of any season, there's clearly one star that has unbelievable dance
experience.
Yeah,
she's incredible.
She's incredible.
Chandler.
Yeah, Chandler. But it seems like it's a pretty even playing field. Do you think this is one of the most even playing fields we've seen in the last like 4 or 5 years?
I do.
Okay.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Because it really makes the stakes even higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the scores are going to fluctuate each week depending on the dance style.
Okay.
So it makes things really exciting. And it makes the growth so exciting to watch.
Sure.
And to see who can really exceed and retain information and who's going to like become a dancer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting stuff. It's fun to watch. Let me ask you this. Who surprised you the most week one, other than Joey?
Yeah.
Who did you see and you're like, damn, I didn't expect that. That was good.
I'm going to say Danny.
Okay.
And we haven't rehearsed at the same time as them, as Whitney and Danny, but I was really shocked. I thought he looked so strong.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was really emoting with his performance. And I guess I just wasn't expecting it from him.
Yeah.
So I knew that he would be like strong and committed to dancing and trying to get this, but he really like showed up game time. And I think that's the football player in him.
That's the athlete.
Yeah.
And I mean, so did Dwight Howard.
Yes.
I mean, that was unbelievable.
I knew Dwight and Danny were going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, Danny's an incredible choreographer and he has so much charisma. So I knew that was going to be a show-stopping number.
Yep.
And then, like you said, Chandler was just in a league of her
gosh.
Own. She's incredible.
Might as well sign her up to be a pro at this point. Unbelievable. All right, give me this. And we're going to get into your career track and how you got to where you are. But
okay.
Prediction, final four prediction. What do you think it looks like?
Give I'm going to knock shot. On all the
knock
woods.
Knock on wood.
I'm going to
knock on wood. Give it context. It's just you're even manifesting.
Okay. As of last night, let me just judge off of last day. As of last night, I'm going to go. I'm going to go Chandler.
Okay.
Steven and Riley.
Oh, they killed it. Yep.
Dwight and Danny.
Yep.
And I'm going to do myself and Joey.
Let's go. Love that. I think that's a good final four. We're knocking on wood. We are manifesting this. A couple more rapid fires for you when you look at this season. If you had to predict, again, it's just a prediction. It's nothing hard nosed, but when and do you think you guys will have a 30 out of 30 week?
Ooh. You start seeing tens about midway through.
Okay, okay.
I always love a perfect score on Halloween night. I don't know why. It's just so fulfilling.
Okay.
I think those dances get really exciting because you can be like fun characters.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say hopefully Halloween night, which might be week seven.
Okay, week seven. Do you have any idea what the theme is in week six or seven of your songs yet? Like how far do you go?
No, they try to do a couple weeks in advance.
Okay.
But I don't know what the theme night would be for Halloween night. We always have a Halloween night that falls like days on it or in between it. Okay. But no, we know like the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
They try to solidify like 2 weeks in advance.
Okay.
But I don't know what the theme will be for Halloween.
All right, we'll see. Let me ask you this. You see Joey dance. You've seen his skill set. We saw the cha-cha week one. What dance do you think he'll have the hardest challenge with?
The few moves that we've done, I think frame dances, which are the waltz, foxtrot, Viennese waltz, tango, and quickstep, might be our harder dances.
Okay.
Joey is a lot better when he can be loose and free with like his upper body and his legs. And those ballroom dances are a bit more restrictive.
Sure.
It's a really uncomfortable position for guys because they have to like tuck their butt under and glide across the floor with bent knees, which is just such an unnatural feeling or sensation.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say those dances.
Okay.
We've got our work cut out.
Yeah, your work cut out, but you're off to a hot start. Now, let's get into your career track, which was a hot start right from the get-go. 19. So I've had Lindsay Arnold on the show. You guys,
did you
grow up together?
We did.
Okay, so you grew up together.
She is my best friend in the whole entire world.
She is like, she has such great energy.
Yes.
I feel like all the Arnolds just have such great
They're
energy.
The best.
Now, I talked to her a little bit about when she started dancing. I think it was 4 years old. For you, when did you start? And was it always that no matter what, dance was going to be in your lane for a lifetime?
So I started dancing when I was 3.
Wow.
That's three.
Think about
it. Yeah.
That's wild.
I know. I have two older sisters and they danced as well. So it was kind of just like a natural progression. Mm-hmm. I would be driven to the studio with them and I'd want to just jump into class.
Yeah.
So my parents put me in when I was 3.
Okay.
And I kid you not, from a young age, I'm not going to say that young, but I would say like 10 or 12, I just always knew I wanted to dance. I didn't know how or what because Dancing with the Stars wasn't as popular back then.
Yeah.
But I just had so much passion for it and I loved it so much. And my parents saw that. So they kept me in it.
Wow.
And it got more intense. I started to do more, be more competitive, go to more competitions. But at, I would say 16, I wanted to move to LA.
Okay.
To become a working dancer, whatever that meant.
Is that, no, like when you're in, think about you're a hockey player growing up.
Yeah.
Like, you know the NHL, AHL.
Yeah.
Is that the thought process of all dancers? Like if you're going to make it, you got to go to LA?
You're going to go to LA or New York.
Okay.
Or LA's more commercial.
Okay.
And so that was always the dream. But my parents were like, no, you're going to be a normal kid. You're going to finish high school.
Yep.
And then as soon as I turned 18, I moved to LA. I actually did a show called So You Think You Can Dance First.
Right.
And that propelled me to be seen by the producers of Dancing with the Stars. We actually film at the same studio at CBS and they had seen me and asked me to audition and
Before you take the shot on So You Think You Can Dance and then Dancing with the Stars, are you earning any form of income with, I mean, we went over all the achievements you've had. We only touched a couple of them. Like, can you make money from this at an early age?
You can. You can do shows or you can assist on conventions, which I was doing. But it is a very scary career to pursue.
Right.
Because, I mean, I'll speak for myself right now. Technically, I'm unemployed 9 months out of the year.
Mm.
Dancing with the Stars is only 3 months where I can really know that I'm going to be solidified with a paycheck.
Wow.
And so it really, you have to hustle. Mm-hmm. You have to be proactive. That's why there's a lot of dancers, like especially in LA, just because I can speak from experience, auditioning every single day to get booked for a gig. And wow. It's kind of paycheck to paycheck, or you're having to get an extra job. But the life of a dancer is no joke. And it's all out of passion. It really is. So I am such a huge advocate for all dancers who pursue it, because it is so scary. And just, they do the most to make a living.
It's wild. When even the comparison of hockey and the NHL, is Dancing with the Stars, like, is that the place, like the number one place dancers want to be? Without a doubt. It's not even a question.
Without a doubt. Yeah, wow. you can go on tour with an artist like Beyonce.
Yeah, I mean, that's
whoever,
pretty sick.
Which is pretty sick. Cool. But again, you would be shocked at what
they're paid.
Yeah.
When you look at this year and getting signed again for next year, what are some of the top things that you're saying, okay, this year I have to do A, B, and C to make sure that I'm signed again for the following year?
I think there are so many variables. Obviously, casting is a huge part. So there's a lot of things that you're not in control of. But just me speaking personally, what I make sure that I'm doing in case I am brought on, I'm making sure that I am active. You know, my body is my tool. Mm. So doing the physical therapy, making sure that I'm working out or staying in dance shape, stretching, all of that is really important to me. And then, yeah, there is this nowadays pressure to be really active on social media.
Yeah.
What's your brand? Who's tuning in? Are you doing enough? It's wild how that is such a big part of our industry now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Where you would think that like just your craft is enough.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so there is that pressure as well. And then I think just staying busy is really big for me, because then it gets me momentum to go into the season.
Like busy dance busy?
Yeah.
Like just being in the front of this?
No, I really like to stay proactive on my dance. And this past summer was really nice. My husband and I were in a show in Chicago for 6 weeks called Saber After Hours.
Oh, cool.
And we literally finished, had 1 week, and then started the show.
Wow.
It was a Broadway schedule, so we were doing 8 shows a week.
That's brutal.
So I was exhausted, but I didn't feel as a massive shift starting this show, which is so exhausting.
Yeah.
Because I think my body was already in that routine.
Yeah.
So that was really nice.
Crazy. I asked Sunila yesterday, what was harder, getting prepared for the Olympics or Dancing with the Stars? And she didn't even think. She just instantly snapped, oh, Dancing with the Stars. I'm like, wait, Dancing with the Stars is harder than preparing for the Olympics? She said, it's not even a question. So it's wild to hear that. From your standpoint, though, when you think about income, Dancing with the Stars tour, a Broadway gig like that, or the actual show, where's the biggest source of income?
I'm going to say consistently the show.
Okay.
Because it is a 3-month period. But it is a really, really nice chunk.
I love it. That is awesome.
Consistent income.
Well, good for you guys.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com. Upwork.com.
I know certain things you can't share, so I'm not going to go into that. But one question that, guys, we talk about negotiating, we talk about like how to understand your value. Do you and Val like talk about what you're getting paid and how to negotiate? Do you guys keep it separate? Like, how's the love and money conversation look?
Yeah, I think when it comes to the show, there's not a lot of that. But when it comes to other gigs, it's hard to put a value on what your dancing is worth.
Right.
And we've had many discussions about it, and we do get hired a lot together as a couple. Mm-hmm. How do we split that?
Sure.
And it has varied when, you know, I was just starting out and he was already the guy.
Yeah.
So it's been really fun to see, I guess, my worth or my value kind of go up,
right,
and feel like I do have some negotiating power in shows or gigs that we get booked for. But it is wild. Like, how is this subjective thing, dance? How do you put a price point on it?
Value to
yeah.
It? Yeah. So it's probably what? Talking about it and then just like guessing?
Yeah. It depends on what the gig is, how many numbers it is, what the time frame is, what the expectations are.
What do you mean by numbers? What are numbers in dance?
Meaning like, how many dances are we going to be doing?
Okay.
Is it just one dance or is it three?
Okay.
Is there a meet and greet involved in it?
Mm.
You know, these are different variables that I would think that do change the price point for sure.
Because of social media being so big and you having a great presence, and same with Val, will they actually require certain deliverables on social media too with some of these things?
It depends. If it's a really big show, not usually. But again, depends on what the event is.
Yeah.
I think now social media is so prevalent that they will throw something in like that, or they'll just ask or want it to be part of it. But it is crazy that like now that is such a big part of
the game.
The game.
Yeah. And it becomes
like tying it to not only just like, oh, we want you to dance, but and post about it.
Sure.
Like,
I know.
Okay.
So you got to like go to the studio with your choreograph done and then four TikToks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's changed dramatically, but that's got to be a good income source for you when you're not dancing. So it leads to an opportunity there.
I have a love-hate relationship with social media in general because I don't feel like I am really amazing at it. I don't feel like I'm like, oh, I have this idea, I'm going to do it right now.
Sure.
I like to be super authentic with my social media and share what I want to share. I never want to be forced or feel like I'm forcing something because I value my relationship with my followers or my fans. But I would be so stupid if I didn't take advantage of this incredible platform that when I was pregnant, I didn't do a season or a tour and I was able to provide for my family and still make the same amount of money. That's psychotic. Why would I not take advantage of that and put effort into it? So I've had to talk myself into it, but I am really grateful that that's another source of income for our family.
Okay, we talked about Broadway, tour, Dance with the Stars. How does social media income rank in that category?
It depends.
I would guess it's the top.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say all year long.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. It's the most consistent. And it is, it's become probably my highest source of income.
I love it. That is awesome. One question I got for you. People back at home, whatever job it is, they deal with curveballs that impact the trajectory of their career.
Yeah.
You've already talked about 3 months. This is it. You got to nail it. You guys are then placed at random, however they do it, with different stars.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like you got to play with the hand you're dealt. And sometimes the hands aren't fair. You've come in first place season 26, season 32, came in 12th place. Talk to me about what that process is like. Do you have any idea at all how, where, when they select who you'll be with and things like that?
No.
And if you are given a bad hand, which a lot of people at work that are listening to this are, how do you kind of deal with that? Knowing there's only 3 months, 1 year, and this is it. This is your time to shine, gain your followers, and do your thing.
You never know who you're going to be paired with. It's not like they give you a heads up. So you're really, when your person opens the door, that's
crap
it.
Shoot.
Yeah. But it makes it exciting because it's our job. We were hired to teach somebody who doesn't know how to dance to dance.
Yeah.
So even though it can be frustrating at times where you're like, oh, I'm getting eliminated third this season, you have to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's on us to try to either make America fall in love with their personality or do a really well-constructed dance.
Mm-hmm.
But you really are kind of at the mercy of the cards you're dealt.
Yeah.
And you can't change somebody if they don't have any rhythm or have two left feet. Like, you can't change that. But we can be smart choreographers and do the most.
Do the best you can.
Do the best.
And if you do the most in those circumstances, going back to our last conversation, it probably has to help with getting re-signed, right?
Yeah.
So it's small things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Somebody like Emma, for example, this season, I think she is a brilliant choreographer. You know, we just saw her do her dance with Reggie. And she did a great constructed routine where it still looked active.
Yeah.
He's not able to move a ton, right, but it was so entertaining and fun.
It was. And we were all like, total, like when he was up there, we were rooting for him.
Oh, man.
He killed
it. He's adorable.
She killed it. Okay, let's go way back in time. All right.
Okay.
You meet Val. You're 19. I heard on the Lautner podcast, you said, or he said, I'm not trying to find love. I'm trying to find success, but it came his way. That is a good question for a lot of people is, how do you just balance this whole idea of, you know, falling in love with a work partner and then, of course, being married and now you're a mother and you're the top pros. How do you balance it all? The work, love, life relationship.
There is definitely no book on it.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
It would be really nice if there was.
Yeah.
Yeah, Val said that and I was in a similar position. It was my first season on the show. And this is my dream gig.
Yeah.
And I do not want to mess this up.
HR violation coming.
Literally. I don't want to mess this up. I want to be professional. Mm-hmm. But like, how do you deny feelings?
Mm-hmm.
And there was an immediate connection. Obviously, I'm this newbie. He's like the guy. So we kept it under wraps for a while, but it was kind of just inevitable and everyone knew about it. But it's, how do you navigate a public relationship? I have no idea.
Yeah.
He doesn't. So we had to find a good balance.
Yeah.
And I think we've done a pretty good job now of having that balance when like we're at work. And then when we're come home, we're just Jenna and Val, and we're parents to the sweetest baby boy in the world. But it's hard. I don't think anybody thinks that they're going to work with their spouse.
Yeah.
Like it's a very weird concept.
Right?
Yeah. And when we're both as passionate and competitive as we are, it's hard to not get obsessed with our work. We're so, so invested in the season with our partners, with our choreography, with how everything's going. So it's hard to take a step away from this bubble that we're in for these 3 months that are so intense and to just be ourselves for a second.
Do you guys like, is there competition at home? Like, is there a little competitive vibe? Who's going to do who? What does it look like?
It's weird because it's not like, oh, I have a better dance than you this week. And there's like passive aggressiveness.
Yeah.
But you know, we're both alphas.
Yeah.
We're both Aries. We're psychopaths together. And yeah, we're really competitive. So it's not even that it's at each other, but it's with ourselves. And it's hard not to bring that home sometimes and like be upset that your day wasn't as good as it went or that this move in rehearsal didn't work or that you didn't have the best dance of the night. But he is my number one supporter. Aww. And when I got Joey this season, he was beyond excited for me because I was pregnant and then I got eliminated early last season. So he just sees the potential with Joey and he's so excited for me. And And also I was telling Joey this last night, like watching him dance, I get more nervous for him than I do myself.
Interesting. Why is that?
Ugh, watching anybody you love do something that they're so caring about is just terrifying.
Yeah, that's true.
It means so much to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. Do you, how about at home? Do you guys at all share? Like you say like, hey, I got this move coming up or like, do you share your choreograph?
Oh, we help each other with everything.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he'll come home, show me his video of their dance. I'll show him mine. I'll ask for pointers.
Yeah.
I feel, I'm not going to say like we're cheating, but I'm so grateful to have an extra set of eyes that can give me a male perspective on what my partner should be doing.
Yeah.
And then same for him.
That's huge. I love it. That is awesome.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Okay, the sport in general, I had an ex that was on the show. It's very intimate, very sexy.
Yeah.
And a lot of like couples that go into it get worried about what's going to happen with their relationship.
Totally.
Being on your side of it is a pro. How do you handle that? And I think even going back to the Lautner podcast, Val said it's something I've worked on. Her looking so happy, having so much happiness with another partner. How is that something you deal with? Because I think all of us back at home can kind of think through that as we approach our relationships.
For sure. It's a weird concept, but I've been partnered with a boy since I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
Doing these intimate moves. This was just part of my training.
Yeah.
So I think that obviously as dancers, we're a little bit desensitized to how intimate it is and how completely foreign that is for somebody stepping into our world for the first time.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just part of our craft and our artistry, but I can totally understand how abrasive that visual is for a significant other to see or to watch.
Sure.
I think Val and I have a really interesting job because we have both spectrums of it.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that he is able to give that support. And he's incredible when it comes to me being invested into the season. But it is really hard to manage. I think it's our job to make sure that we can do everything in our power as a partner to make our partner's significant others feel safe and part of the experience, to be open with our rehearsals, show them videos, make them feel part of it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like there's like this hidden thing happening.
Yeah, like there's this big wall.
Yeah.
You're not welcome. There's a big door on that wall. You're like, come look, come
please
see, have at it.
Because you'll see I'm yelling at him for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And nitpicking.
Just beating the shit out of each other.
Literally.
For 4 hours straight.
So I think just being as open as possible and making them feel part of the experience really helps.
Obviously, you and Val haven't figured out, but do you see the other pros that don't have any significant other in the game struggle with that? Because we see it on the star side, right?
Yeah.
There's always interviews that always talk about it. We don't hear about it from the career track of a pro. Just from your vantage point, do you think other pros struggle with that?
I think we all know what our job is.
Okay.
And I think we've all had to learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Because
it can become hard and messy. And you just want you and your partner to have the best 3 months possible and for it to be a very positive experience.
Sure.
And you don't want any extra things coming into the studio that are already stressful and really intense. So I think everyone does a pretty good job about being professional and
It's just like you said, it's like different being desensitized, like even like Bachelor Nation. Like I saw some of the comments and they're like, watch your hand, Jenna, put leg down. Good luck with this relationship.
I know.
And it's wild how different stars who have different followings have different reactions to that area of the business, but it's part of the business. And you're rewarded for having better chemistry. Like
that's the interesting part. And I think our fans of the show of Dancing with the Stars really understand that the couples that do have good chemistry and good friendships and look like they get along usually do better. You don't want to see two people that are like so cold and want nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
But I think they also appreciate dance and art and chemistry and how magic that partnership can really be and flourish to be.
Totally. All right. Let me ask you this. We see all the different styles in the Dancing with the Stars competition. There's like jazz, there's Latin, there's ballroom, contemporary, all these different things. If you're a comparison I'll give you is if you're a baseball pitcher and you're pitching lefty, you're more valuable to organizations.
Okay.
Is there one area of dancing or like one style that if you become the best at, you're bringing more value to the sport and industry? Like you got, or like MMA, there's all these different jiu-jitsu and boxing.
Yeah.
And everyone's now saying wrestling. Like, is there one style that if you're a dancer, like this is the one you gotta be the best at?
Oh, I think we have, so if I'm talking about just like dance overall, I think we have a real advantage being ballroom dancers because we understand the concept of partnering.
Okay.
And that's a really hard art to perfect. And it's so magnificent when you do get it. And then if I'm thinking about like on the show, I think it's not a style. I really think it's about being a smart choreographer.
What does that mean though?
So you can be the best dancer ever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are not constructing a smart routine that's going to translate on your partner and that's also going to read to camera, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many spins you can do. If you're not orchestrating a smart routine to music that's going to make an impact to the audience, is probably not going to read as well.
Interesting. Now, obviously, you and Val can work together.
Yeah.
You see Danny and Pasha, they can kind of work together. But do other dancers have like a team or do they outsource other people to help with this?
We all help each other.
You do?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
We have to do it on our own time. We call it prepping.
Yeah.
But I think we do use each other and I'm really grateful for that help. Again, Val sometimes is busy, so I'll have to ask other guys. Like today even, I was like, Alan, can you help me show Joey this one move? Because again, also, I'm this girl. Yeah. I don't look like a guy doing certain steps.
Sure.
The visual even helps just our partners understand better what it should look like.
Got it.
So I think we all really help each other out, which is nice. But yeah, it's on us to create the piece outside of our rehearsal time and come prepared with choreography that our partner is going to be able to pick up.
Interesting. Now, this past summer, we see some Olympians that are on this season, but we also saw breakdancing in the Olympics. My understanding is there's no form of other dancing in the Olympics at this point. Why not? Do you see it happening soon?
It's really hard with dance, and we kind of spoke about it earlier, but it is such like a subjective sport because it's all about opinion.
Yeah.
Dance is hard because it's not like gymnastics. You can do certain skills and get a score based off of that. Okay. We don't have that set up yet.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be really hard to see dance in the Olympics because it is art-based.
Yeah. But also like I mean, I don't know the specifics of it, but gymnastics is kind of scoring-based, right?
Yeah. Which, again, you have certain skills.
Yeah.
And if you accomplish that, you're going to get 10 or you're going to get 7.
Yeah.
We don't have that in ballroom. It's not like if you do a New Yorker, you're going to get a 6.
You'll get that point.
Yeah. We just don't have... It's who you like best.
Yeah.
Who you think is fastest. Who you think has best chemistry. It's so... just opinion-based.
Yeah, it's like almost too subjective.
Yes.
Yeah, and I guess they're going away with breakdancing at the Olympics.
I know. What a bummer.
I know.
We need it in there. You know, we have world championships in ballroom, which are the closest thing to the Olympics.
Yeah.
But it would be incredible to finally get dance.
It's time. Hopefully they'll do it. All right. How about your son, Rome? You think it like the future of you started at 3? Are you starting to get him going? What's that look like? A ton of people submitted. Is he going to be a dancer? What's the process going to be? Are you going to push it? What do you think?
Val and I have very different feelings on this.
Okay.
We have so much dance in our life. He's a dancer. I'm a dancer. We choreograph separately, together. We travel and teach. We perform. I don't want Rome to feel pressured to do it just because we do it.
Okay.
I don't want him to have expectations for himself, from
Val's
others.
Like, get your ass in the studio.
And Val's like, he's going to be a dancer. No, he looks at it like, we have all of these resources, the top tier resources. How could we not take advantage of that?
Sure.
Which I understand.
Yeah.
But I want him to do whatever he's passionate about. I will support it. If it's dance, great. I'm really like, let's do tennis or like track and field. Let's be fast.
Let's mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Throw in another sport.
But, you know, he loves music. Yeah. Every time there's music, he's dancing. He's bopping. He has incredible rhythm. And I'm like, oh no, it's happening.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, I think he's set up to be probably one of the best dancers in the world. You look at both your accolades, you put those resumes together, and he might be the Wayne Gretzky of dance,
for sure. Thank you. It's literally in his blood. So.
Talk to me about some of the other businesses you guys own. So I know Val owns a couple studios.
Yes, yeah.
You do teaching. What are some other ways that if someone's listening to this, they have a son, they have a daughter, or themselves are thinking about pursuing dance as a profession, they can't land Dancing with the Stars as a pro.
Yeah.
Where else can you make money in this space?
Yeah, I think that was a big concern for my parents of letting their 18-year-old go to L.A.
L.A. with the pipe dream, which worked out, though.
Yeah, but like you said, Val has 14 locations of
14?
Dance studios. Yes.
Damn.
A lot in the tri-state area. There's some in Texas, some in Atlanta. So he and his brother and his dad run those.
Yeah.
They're called Dance With Me Studios. We teach on conventions.
Okay.
So we travel around the country and teach at these weekend conventions, which are incredible. The students, these are for kids. So it's ages 8 to 18. That's a great way to make some money by teaching. Obviously, you can teach at different studios, go and set pieces of choreography, or just teach master classes. And then, you know, being a working dancer, being on Broadway, doing commercials, music videos, going on tour with an artist. These are all different ways that you can make money as a dancer.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy.
Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
We've seen Derek and Julianne kind of create their own brand.
They are
going
the superstars of
superstars,
dancers, yes.
Right? Now they're judges, they're running the show. 5 years from here, 10 years from now, Jenna, like, where do you see it? What's the dream for you when it comes to your career track in this space?
I would love to continue pushing myself as a choreographer. I really love that. And obviously I love doing it on the show, but I'd love to do it for film, TV, or movies. I think it's so awesome to see that integrate dance and film. I have a dream of being on Broadway. I'd love to be in Chicago.
Oh, it's such a good show.
It's just my dream.
It's such a good show.
I'm not going to claim myself to be a singer, but yeah. I can sing. Hold a tune.
Ariana Maddox pulled it off. Did you see her or no?
I didn't get to see her, but I've heard she's absolutely stunning.
She killed the dance. The singing was good, but all in all, killed it. Absolutely killed it. And that's a hard role to kill.
Yes.
So,
Roxy.
All right.
So, yeah, I'd love to be on Broadway. I just want to keep, again, I think once my dancing is over.
Yeah.
Because, again, a woman's body only is able to sustain so much, especially after kids and everything. I love the back end of TV.
Cool.
I'd love to executive produce, creative produce, you know, producing this show would be insane. So I really look up to a lot of our producers and would love to shadow them.
Cool.
I think it would be a really fun transition.
What is that age? You mentioned just like dancing takes a toll on the body. Like, what is that age typically it takes the toll where you're like, might have to bow out? Like, if you had to look at the average.
I think it varies. For guys, I think it's longer for sure.
Why is that? You're not doing flips in the air 24/7, right?
Yeah, like, you're not pushing kids out.
You're not pushing kids. Daddy's doing
that
all this.
One thing.
Had a kid yesterday. You're doing all. It's not.
Yeah, my brother-in-law, Max, he's in his 40s and he's still dancing
going.
And ripping it. But I would say for women, maybe like 36 to 38.
Okay.
Professionally, again, where you're still able to do shows.
Yeah, okay.
And dance your fullest.
Sure.
We've had pros on the show that are 40 and women that are 40. So I think it really varies, especially with how many kids you have.
Sure, of course.
So we'll see. But I definitely want to tap into other things because I do want to have more kids and I want to be able to transition smoothly. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Talk about calming the nerves a little bit. So there's a lot of people listening to this. They go to an interview. They're like freaking out. They have a presentation. They're trying to get prepared for the moment. Maybe it's even like they're going on a date and they're just like nervous as all hell. Right before the show goes live, I'm sure there's got to be some nerves jambalaya a little bit, especially on a season premiere. What are some things internally, externally, routines, breathing techniques, anything you do to just keep grounded and keep calm?
Yeah. Joey and I had just spoken about this because I still get butterflies every time we go live.
Mm-hmm.
There's no feeling like it. There's so much pressure. And I've really had to learn how to listen to my body.
Yeah.
And I think breathing techniques are great. I think also just staying focused. I have found the ability to kind of hone in and zone everything else out.
So you're just like locked in on WhatsApp and nothing else.
No, I don't see anybody. I don't think about anything. I kind of tried to like get to that meditative state of clearing my brain.
Yeah.
So I can be so present in that moment.
So when you're like, you're dancing with Joey yesterday, the only thing happening in your brain is like the next move and the current move.
Yeah, is Joey, my performance, yeah, and our next steps. It's really hard to do, and I still struggle with it, and I have to like pull myself back into that moment. But I've learned that when I'm not focused like that, that's when I make stupid mistakes.
Interesting.
That's when I'm not 100%.
Interesting.
That's when I'm not myself. So I really think that like you can train your brain to focus on one thing. And for us, it's a minute 30.
Yeah.
You can find that self-power to do it. And I think you're so much more present in that moment. And after, it's so much more fulfilling than getting distracted.
Yeah. Just being present. It's the power of being present, which is especially today with the phones and everything else, it's like next to impossible. What is your proudest moment in your career? If you look back to everything, Dancing with the Stars or not, you're like, this was the marquee moment. And I'll give you a little tease. The next follow-up is going to be, what was like the biggest payday you ever had financially? Like, what was the biggest payday? So proudest moment and payday.
Proudest moment was actually just recently. We were asked to choreograph a tribute for Len Goodman, who was our head judge. And we happened, again, proudest moment was choreographing that piece. Yeah. And being able to do that for him. But then we were also nominated for an Emmy for it.
So that's
just like a bucket list goal that we've had forever. And so to be recognized for that was insane. And then financially, I would say either doing a full season, making it to the end.
Okay.
Getting all of those bonuses, getting my full season's check was incredible. But I've had some incredible social media deals that I would have never dreamed of getting a number like this in one post.
Yeah, unbelievable.
You know, so, I look back to when I was pregnant, it was a really big thing for me financially to be like, can I do this? Can I take 9 months plus off?
Right.
And there were some social media deals that
came through.
Yeah.
Saved the day.
Yeah.
I love it. Let's end with a money rapid fire before we get your trading secret. I'll ask you a few questions. Just give me your initial response. Ready to go for it?
Okay.
A little trading secrets, money rapid fire. What is one thing you overspend on? You go look at your credit card right now. You know you overspend on it.
Easy.
And unless you go broke, you're not going to stop.
Athleisure.
What's your go-to? What's your like? Is it Aloe, Lululemon?
No, it's Set Active right now.
Okay.
I know.
Okay. All right. I mean, but, I feel like I you mean, would get
honestly,
that shit
like,
for free though.
But that, no. And that's like my work uniform.
Right. Yeah,
so
that's what I'm
saying. I feel like I spend an endless amount on sports bras and leggings.
That makes total sense. What is like the way you look at all the money inflows and outflows? What do you think the worst money move you ever made was? Oh, we got an immediate laugh there.
Oh, I don't know. You know what? When I moved in with Val, I was paying for an apartment for months that I did not need to.
Okay.
And I just, it was like, let it go. And I didn't. And it was for too long. And I had a storage unit as well.
Oh, geez.
So I was just
cash just
throwing. And I was living in LA, you know, just bye-bye.
Yeah. Well, it all worked out. You guys ended up together. So a good investment.
Yeah.
What would you say the best investment you ever made is? You took the money, even if it doesn't even connect to return, you're just like, hell yeah, I'm glad I did that.
You know, we got really lucky. We bought a home in 2020, right during the pandemic. And it was the stupidest, best thing we ever did.
We
only lived there for a year and a half, but the market was insane and we were able to sell it for a lot more than we bought it for.
Hell, it
was like our first real investment.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of us for taking that leap. And it was so terrifying during the pandemic to do this.
I'm
really glad we did.
And you think about how much you can make in that transaction versus how much you have to like claw and grab for, just like hustling. So that is awesome. Last one I got for you before we go to your trading secret, dream dollar amount. Like it could be an annual amount. It could be like in 1 year, I dream to make this amount of money. It could be, I hope one day I can accumulate this amount of money. Give me some dream dollar amount.
I'm going to say this isn't a crazy number, but I think just as a personal goal for me, I'm just going to say $1 million in a year.
Yes, let's go.
In 1 year.
This is how it happens. You put it out there. The deals keep coming. And it's going to happen. And when it does happen, you're coming back on.
Yeah.
How about it? We good with that?
I'm good.
All right, let's go. Money manifesting.
Yeah,
right,
1 million 1 year.
1 million Myself. 1 year. It's coming down and hopefully a mirror ball on the way. Jenna, it's been so good hearing about your career track, all the behind the scenes of Dance with the Stars. We got to wrap with a trading secret. So something unique to you. It could be money management. It could be love. It could be tips on relationships, anything that's just special to your experience. What can you leave us with?
I think for me, my biggest secret while navigating my career, my love life in front of the public, while growing up in front of the public, has just been to be so immensely and fiercely true to myself. I know that's so cliche to say, but the times where I lost myself, that's when I feel like I was just in the dumps financially, physically, emotionally. And the second that I just stuck to my guns and didn't care what anybody else thought or said about me was when I found true peace and freedom.
What do you think? I think it's an unbelievable trading secret, but when you talk about losing yourself, like what do you think are things that led to you losing yourself?
I think comparison on the show, trying to be somebody that I wasn't, trying to, you know, when I was younger on the show, I wasn't a pro yet. I was on Troop and I looked up to these female pros so much, but I wanted to be them and I didn't know my own value or worth.
Okay.
So I think, and I was trying to be somebody that I just was not.
Sure.
And I wasn't good at my dancing anymore. It was weird. It was a version of myself that I did not love.
Interesting.
Or respect. So I think, you know, stay true to all of those things that you've grown up with, trained in, believed in so hard. Don't let other things ruin it for you.
Okay, last follow-up I got, because I think it's brilliant, is a lot of people that are listening to this are trying to drop into their like authentic self. They are lost and they're trying to get back to who they are, especially with social media and everything. It's a constant comparison game. What are some things that you did or advice you would give to someone that's like, I'm really trying to find that self? How do you find that
self? Yeah, it's really hard. Again, I read negative comments about myself every single day.
Yeah.
And when I was younger and not as secure in myself, in my relationship, in my career, they would really affect me and taint my day.
Sure.
And I'm going to say that becoming a mother has saved me in the best way possible. I just don't have time or energy to care about any of it.
Yeah.
There is the most perfect little being that has all of my attention.
Yeah.
And who loves me undeniably. And he's really just given me so much more purpose and understanding of life. Like all of this stuff just doesn't matter.
Whatever.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and two, I want to be a good example for him.
Mm-hmm.
When he's going through these years in his life, I want to be able to be strong and not be a bad example of like, I gave into reading into things or spending too much time caring about what others thought of me.
Right.
So I really think that becoming a mother has really shifted my perspective.
I like that. Becoming a mother, and I also like what you said before, it was like, I need to look in the mirror. I need to see that person on social or on TV and be like, I love and respect that person. I don't care if anybody else does. I think that's a great trading secret. Jenna, thank you so much for coming on Trading Secrets. Where can everyone find everything you have going on?
Yes. Well, you can first tune in to Dancing with the Stars every Tuesday.
Vote Joey 215-23. 215-23. Text Joey 10 times and it opens up like right when the show starts, right?
Right at 5.
Okay,
5
get those
PM.
10 votes in.
Yeah, and then social media, just Jenna Johnson. That's
cool.
It.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being on this episode.
Thank you.
Ding, ding, ding. We are closing the bell with the one, the only, the Curious Canadian on the Jenna Johnson podcast. Val's been on the show before. Joey's been on the show before. Kelsey is coming on here shortly, but we're talking all things Dancing with the Stars. And David, I told everyone in the intro, I'd tell them a little bit about the ratings. The season 33 premiere of Dancing with the Stars was a massive uptick to the last season. So Tuesday's debut scored a 4.97 million viewers across ABC and Disney. Now, if I go to Bachelor Data's post, she talks about the change, a 12.31% increase season 33 in that demo that they try and target. And that is big numbers. We're seeing their engagement off social media get, it's just out of control. Like everyone's growing at such fast rates, a lot of action. This Dancing with the Stars is hot. It's strong. We had Jenna on. David, what are you thinking?
I'm wondering how many of those numbers come from, weren't they all streaming? It was a pure streaming show. They took it off of ABC cable, I'm pretty sure, either last season or the season before. It's nice to see something return back to the traditional format of cable television and to see their numbers go up. Just a little interesting thought that I had there about that. But the season's crushing. I mean, it's everywhere that I look right now. It's the most talked about thing on TV right now. And this is about Jenna Johnson, but we got to give a shout out to our boy, Joey. I mean, the guy's electric. Let's just call it is what it is. The guy's stealing hearts. He's got the moves. I mean, he's absolutely crushing it. So
he is exceeding all expectations. He's absolutely crushing. I actually talked to him the other day and I was like, dude, I feel like as much as this is like a dance competition, which you're killing and it's charisma and all the things it's always been, I also feel like it's kind of like a social media competition. It's like the people that have the highest engagement, it's like leading to the more votes. And if you're bringing high engagement to the show, then I think that also helps them wanting to keep you around. And the other thing too, is part of you, like, are they even rehearsing? Cause they are pumping, they are all, not just Jen and them, they are all pumping out so much content.
It's crazy. And you talked in the episode about the Olympic athlete that said training for Dancing with the Stars was harder. It has to be such like a boot camp mentality though, to get these dances down to the point where you're performing in front of however many, you said millions of people are watching the show. I mean, it is an absolutely crazy social and physical experiment to put yourself through. I don't want to leave the ratings part yet. You said season 33, Jay. ABC has Dancing with the Stars in its 33rd season. They got the Bachelor franchise that's been going on for, I want to say, between The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and all the spinoffs, 25-plus seasons. More if you get them combined. Is there any other network that has two staple franchises that are in their 30-plus seasons of, you know, reality TV? I'm thinking maybe Survivor, but that doesn't, I don't think that pulls the numbers like these do. You know, Big Brother, Amazing Race.
I mean, there's classic shows out there, Price is Right, Jeopardy, et cetera. But when you're looking at like competition and unscripted shows, I mean, it's unbelievable what they're doing. And it's the longevity of it is just incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's an absolute powerhouse of a show. Jen has been on for a while. And like you said, we've had Val on, Joey, you know, obviously her old partner was Grocery Store Joe. It's great to see the kind of connect the dots here with our Trading Secrets guests. You did mention it's a little bit of a social experiment. She talked about Grocery Store Joe and her being in fifth place. She said she thought because of the just volume of votes they were getting from his following that they would be in the semifinals. But it's just One thing that kind of took me by, I don't want to say surprise, because when she said it, it makes sense, but I want to get your take a little bit on the statement that she had and how you think that she's supplementing her income. But when she said, I'm technically unemployed for 9 months of the year. Now, she talked about this being like the NHL, like Dancing with the Stars is the highest level a dancer strives to get to. But you still hear that statement. They can't be pulling in that much money where they can just go unemployed for 9 months, like she says. She's probably in the social media game. She's probably in the influencing game now. What's your take on that overall approach from a professional point of view of having 3 months? Maybe someone else out there has 3 months of a busy season and 9 months to really do extra. What's your take on that?
It's terrifying. Like, I just think about, like, that's a lot to manage, especially when you have kids and a family. Like, a huge part of your income is relying on the show renewing you. Obviously, a lot's changing in the dancing game, and especially social media being one of them. So I think it would be quite terrifying, right? But it does sound like there's other ways to create businesses and drive revenue and do things like that. But this is the peak of the game. And it feels like it's extremely, extremely competitive in this space. And it's always interesting to learn more about it. And I think Jenna's attitude towards it is what's gotten her this level of success. Like, she's fiercely competitive. She takes this so seriously. She knows that this is the top of the dancing game. And she, every day, she's like, we're going to do whatever we can do to win. And I even think, like, the competition that, like, the friendly competition and support her and Vale have with each other is interesting too. Like, it seems like the dancing world is just a dog-eat-dog world. It is tough to make it.
I can't imagine being in the same profession as my wife and then being in a competition show and, like, having to, like, have that coexist for 3 months of our life at, like, the highest level with millions of people watching. That in itself is, like, give me the cameras inside their home And let me see some behind the scenes of after the judges give their scores and they have to go back. And it's like, oh, congratulations. But like, you're furious inside. Like, I want to see a little behind the scenes of that, because I think that would be truly spectacular of that dynamic. Is that something that you think that you could do?
I mean, I when you said behind the scenes, I want to jump into this a little bit. There's a little edit I had to make in this show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be true to the edit. I'm not going to bring up any specifics, but I'll just give you a little taste of it, David.
Okay.
Take it out. There is speculation out there. There is not 100% certainty, but there is speculation, because like when we were on The Bachelor, Bachelorette, we would always see, like, based on where we stood, if that meant that we would possibly get a rose or not. And there's some little behind the scenes. The dancers have like some theories of based on where you stand, what it means. But there's no validity to it, just some things. So when you start to say, you know, behind the scenes, that's where my head went.
Yeah. And I would, that's the task for Bachelor Data. I feel like she'll be on it now. She does the, this limo entrance shown on TV is this goes this far in the season. There's got to be something to that. And when you're in 33 seasons of it, you may change so many things, but so many things stay the same that you don't realize, and patterns start becoming realities based off of a show being in their 33rd season. Can't change it all the
yeah.
time.
But I think in general, like, I think to go back to your question, because my ADHD brain went all over there, I think it's a huge benefit. Like, her and Vale have massive, massive benefits in working together. Like she said, like, I can see how it would work on Vale. Vale can give me the guy's perspective. You know, you look at Danny and Pasha. They too have that advantage. Like, there's historically been a lot of couples on this show, or relatives on this show, or even like best friends like Lindsay Arnold and Jenna that were on the show. So I think it's a competitive advantage.
Do you know through your Rolodex of ABC contacts who is like the executive producer or a big producer on Dancing with the Stars?
I know of who they are, yeah.
Because can we get one of them on? Because we've had a lot of guests on, or would it be celebrities on the show, or a dancer? Because here's, now my brain's going where your brain's going, which is where my brain was going, which is the behind the scenes thing. I want to know how they actually pick what celebrities are with what dancers. Is it like a height thing? Is it this? Is it that? Like she's talked about in the show, sometimes you're going to get someone who has no dance background, two left feet, no rhythm. Your paycheck is tied to how far you go. And that's not always quote unquote fair. Like she just says, it is what it is. They still have a job to do. But I'm just wondering, in that room, when they're matching two pictures next to each other, who the partner is going to be. I want to be in that conversation. I want to be on fly on that wall.
I would love to be in that war room. That would be very interesting. And if you guys think we should get some executive producers on the show, obviously they're contractually obligated to only share so much. But if you guys think we should, give us 5 stars and just let us know in the comments, and we will work to do that. But David, you know, I think in general, just I loved Jenna's demeanor, her kind of tenacity, her care, her respect for the profession. I really even enjoyed some of the financial conversations, her goal of how much she wants to make, her transition into motherhood, and like the expiration on this career was really interesting. What else kind of took you by surprise?
Well, I don't want to say by surprise, but I do want to point out that one thing she said in her trading secret, and just kind of touch on that, is she talked about being true to herself. And she's like, I know that's cliche or that's a little cheesy, but she said how becoming a mother has saved her. And it saved her from basically the time and energy she used to put into other people's opinions and other people's comments and distractions. And now she just doesn't have time or energy for it because she's a mother. Now, not everyone listening to this is a mother. Not everyone listening to this is a father. But something, everybody has something, right? So what I want to just kind of talk about openly is, if it's not being a mom or a dad, what are some things out there that if people are struggling to focus on that thing? What are some passions that you think we can really lock into to maybe stop overthinking things or taking other people's or criticism or self-doubts out of it, because you just put your time and energy into that and you stop worrying about all the bad?
Yeah, I think two big things would be, you know, one is what, just in general, like, when you think about like just like thoughts in general, like what actually are they? Like someone makes a comment and then you jump into this thought and it's like, what is this thought? Like this thought's not even as real as like this water right here in front of me, you guys can hear, is realer, is more practical than any thought. Thoughts are just these fabricated things. I think that's one. I also
it's
think,
an electric. It's just an electric analogy.
You know, I think the I think the other thing, the look you're giving me was amazing.
This is great.
The other thing too is like when you ask yourself, and then what? And then what? Okay, so five people chirp you for this or that, and then what? Well, it hurt my feelings. And then what? Well, it would have an impact on this. Okay. And then what? And you start to realize like no one has control over you at all unless you give them control. And so don't give them control. That's my advice.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. You went a different way with it, but that's why we asked the questions here. So yeah. I'm all for it.
There we go. Good. Well, David, anything else before we wrap this recap?
No, I mean, ABC, they keep doing their thing. I mean, it's a Bravo and ABC world. I feel like we're all just living in it right now. So, you know, I thought it was a great episode. I thought it was a great, you know, if you're watching Dancing with the Stars, I think you're going to be absolutely locked into this. A lot of hockey references too, which I absolutely loved in this. But overall, great episode. Joey's going to kill it. Kelsey, I think you've talked to her since she's been on. She's coming on the podcast. How really quick before we sign off, she's unbelievable support of Joey. Have you talked to her about Joey's experience with so far with Jenna?
Just caught up with her this week. She's doing great. She has a great relationship with Jenna. She has a great, obviously, very great relationship with Joey. Everyone is in a good place. And so, like, things couldn't be going better. So I know that things are good. I know that I touched base with them this week. This week is a big week. There's some cool things coming up. And I think that Joey said that, like, mentally, this week that's coming up has been the hardest one so far. So I feel as though each week gets harder. And as you talk to some of the other pros, they're all feeling the same thing. So the intensity is increased. It's getting dialed. Kelsey, Joey, doing fantastic. And Jenna, what a sweetheart.
Yeah, with a live reality TV show, it's got to be a little different. And because he's come out so hot out of the gates with Jenna, you're wondering if that pressure is gonna get to them, and there's gonna be some cracks, you know, some trip wires down the road. But I hope not. We'll be cheering for him. We'll be cheering for him. We'll be watching.
He's smooth as ice, and I will be there live October 8th. We're going back. Got some stuff that are taking me there, and hopefully the next time I'm there is the finale. So we'll talk a little bit more to Rewired. We do a lot of work with some of the Dance with the Stars pros and a couple of the celebrities that are on there. So it has been a fun, productive, and exciting season. Jenna, thank you so much for being on. I thought this was an unbelievable episode. And make sure to give us 5 stars if you guys are still with us here. Make sure to subscribe, and thank you for tuning into another episode of Trade Secrets, one you couldn't afford to miss.
Go Bills.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.